The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. Who's glad to be here? Are you glad to be here? You know, so many different times in life, you don't always realize the effect you have on other people, right? And you don't. And you know, I meet a lot of people all the time, right? And you know, when you go to meet someone, you know, you say, hey, you know, my name's Monty. And if they look at you and they say, I'm John. And you're kind of, I mean, it's, of course, me being me, I'm like, who are you? Who are you? You know, because, you know, that's who God made me to be. I want to talk to people. I want to know who they are, what's going on with them, right? But as you start showing a little bit of what God has put inside of you to people, all of a sudden they start to kind of sprout, right? They start to open up a little bit, right? But as Hannah was saying, we can't share what we don't have, right? So we have to receive from Him, right? So we can share it, right? And see, it's not like, you know, you take some of God's love and then you give it away. He's always pouring His love into you. You're just overflowing. It's just overflowing out of you, right? And it's not something you have to try to do. It's who we are in Him, right? And that's what is exciting, and that gives us joy, right? And that gives us happiness. Amen? And how many people, like, love to be sad and mopey? I mean, I know some people, not here, not in this house, you know, some people, they actually seem like they love to be mopey. Like, they enjoy that. And I'm like, you don't look like you're having fun. You know, I know you keep doing this, but you don't look like you're having fun. Is this fun for you? I mean, I do that to my kids all the time. Is this fun for you? Do you like this? No. Well, yeah. I mean, it's fun to have fun. It's fun to take joy. How are we happy people? Why are we happy people? All right? Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word, Father. Thank You for writing Your word on our hearts, that not only would we not sin against You, but we would advance Your kingdom in this region, Father. And we thank You for that. Thank You for this opportunity to come before You and declare Your word across this region, Father. Your name is power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of each and every one, sealed by the promise through Jesus. And we thank You for that, Father. Thank You for this opportunity today in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's start with Luke 10. I didn't get the stuff in your notes because every time I tried to get on that site, it was trying to make me unhappy. Now, you know what I do? Same with the chainsaw. When it won't start, I just set it down and say, well, obviously we're not doing that today. Because I'm not going to let a little computer mess with my joy. But it's not in it'll be in your notes at some point. All right, so Luke 10, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 first. It says, now after this, well, after what? Well, Jesus had been teaching His disciples. That's what He was doing. You can read in chapter 9. Now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to come and visit. And He said to them, the harvest is indeed abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farm hands are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Okay. He's calling us out to share mediocre news. Jake, I'm going to tell you some good news. There's some paint drying at my house. Do you want to go watch it? I mean, it needs to dry. It's news. Don't know if you care about this news, but it is news. I think Jake's like, I'll pass. I'll pass. Jake, what if I came and paid your light bill this month? Now, Jake's interested now. That's good news. Jake, you have a Savior that bought and paid for your entire life. He has an abundant life for you here, now, and into eternity. He's already paid it for you. Is that good news? That's good news. Guys, we've got some good news to share. And not just for you, for everybody, right? And guys, I know you know the good news, and praise God for that. But the harvest is ripe. There's folks that don't know good news. And you know, good news makes you happy. Amen? It's not mediocre news. It's not paint drying. It's good news. Verse 17, the 70 returned with joy. They were excited, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Woohoo! There's stuff happening. That's what they were saying. There's stuff happening. Lives are changing. People are changing. There's evidence of your power, Father. There's evidence of this. This is good stuff. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Listen to this. And physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. Nevertheless, listen to what he says. Do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven, that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, and it won't be blotted out. It's there. You've got your place. He has gone and prepared that place for you. When you're in Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life forevermore. He paid the price. Yeah. That's exciting. That's good news. And hey, do we want, I mean, he said, you have power. Well, that's good news. And authority. That's good news. To take care of every issue that you're going to come against in this life. See, Monty, he was just talking to them. He's not a respecter of persons. He was speaking to his disciples, his followers. Who are you? You're his disciples. You're his followers. He applies this to you. And this is a promise. If God writes it in his word, it's a promise. It's a promise. Now, we know in this house, how do you walk in and receive the promises of God? Through faith and patience. Faith means I believe what he says. What does patience mean? I'm not going to quit believing. I'm not going to quit, regardless of what I see moment by moment. See, what I see moment by moment isn't going to steal my joy, because it can't steal my place in him. It can't. We are told to go and make disciples. That's in Matthew 28. The gospel is the good news. And perspective means a way of looking at things. It's a point of view. See, if we go over here in Raton Creek, over on the frontage road between Highway 72 and 64, see, people around here, they know what I'm talking about, right? We get down to that creek bottom. I can see only what I can see down there, right? I see trees, I see stuff, and I can't see. If I take you with me, and we go up and walk on top of Bartlett Mesa, okay? You're going to get some perspective. You're going to see some things that you would never see in the bottom of that creek. You're going to see mountains. You're going to see the San Juans. You're going to see things. You're going to see snow. You're going to see, I can see a wagon mound from my house. You believe that? That's 60-something. I can see it from my house. I can see it. I put on my glasses, I can really see it. Right? Praise God. It's perspective. Okay. Where are you seated? The Bible says you're seated, it's in Ephesians 2, we won't go there. You're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. You're seated with him in the heavenlies. That's our perspective. Listen, I'm not saying that as we walk out our life, we're not going to come against things we see. See, you're going to come against things that are hard to bear is what the scripture says. In the end times, there are things that are hard to bear. They're real. I'm not discounting your real situations, your real circumstances. They're real. But you can take joy in those because you have perspective. Amen? You can see above the fray. You have a Father that has empowered you through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of you, that you can take joy in every circumstance and every situation because you have authority and power, and you have good news. You have good news. All right. In Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. See if any of these verses are familiar to you. I'm going to read out the New King James. It said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the person, okay? You know what blessed means? It's a Hebrew word. It's esher. It means happiness. In the Amplified, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Who's he talking about? You, because you do the things that follow this. He's talking about you because you do the things that he's fixing to talk about. But think about it. Happy. You know, to someone that has been in the throes of depression, you say, what do you want? They say, I just want to be happy. Well, you can be. Let me tell you about Jesus. I'm going to give you some good news, because blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, there's another happy word, is in the law of the Lord, meaning in his word, in what he's teaching me, what he's putting inside of me. And in his law, he meditates on day and night. Jim Mitchell was just talking about it. We get in his word. We speak his word. What did Pastor Bert say? We frame our lives in his word. See, we're framing. When you're pouring concrete, if you don't just go pour it out, do you, Dave? We just pour it out somewhere. No, we frame it so that that sits in a place and forms a foundation that I want to build on. So we're framing the foundation of our lives on his word, knowing that it makes us happy. It makes us fortunate. Fortunate. For blessed people, see, for people in the world, they'll say you're lucky. Ah, you're just lucky. You're just lucky. Charmed. That's the word. Monty, you're just charmed. Monty, you're just lucky. You know how many times people have told me that? Oh, you're just lucky. You're just a lucky guy. I'm fortunate. I am fortunate. Because of whose I am. It makes me happy. It makes me prosperous. I will prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. That's in Little John 3. It's in the first little verses. There's only one chapter, so you'll find it. Because my soul is prospering. How is my mind, will, and emotion prospering? Because I'm framing, like Pastor Bert said, I'm just continuing his message, I guess. I'm framing my life on his word, see? And I'm happy and prosperous and enviable, meaning people are going to see and say, man, I want what you got. They're going to want that in this world that's full of fear, that's full of bad news. People want to hear some good news. They want to be happy. They want to be fortunate. They want to be prosperous. They want to be the ones that people come and say, how did you get this lucky? Well, let's talk about Jesus. Listen to what it says. Verse 3. See if you recognize this verse. Yeah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Anybody in this house heard that? Every day, every time we speak it, we speak these words. You know why? Because we're declaring, we're framing our life on his word. And this is who we are. Proverbs 15. I skipped on you, Bryn. Proverbs 15. I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. I'm going to read in the Passion. I shifted gears. I'm sorry. Let me read in the Passion. A cheerful heart puts a smile on your face. Isn't that true, Jimmy? It puts a smile on your face. I can't help myself. I got to smile. But a broken heart leads to depression. Look what it said. Lovers of God hunger after the truth. But those without understanding, they feast on foolishness and they don't even realize it, right? Everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed. But when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fullness. I like how it says that, because we choose to be cheerful. You see, I'm not saying, what's Pastor Monty's verse, James 1? Count it all joy from various trials and tribulations come, for the testing of your faith produces patience. Allow patience to have its perfect work in you, that you would be mature and lacking nothing, right? Count it all joy. You choose to be cheerful. Listen, I don't like this situation. I don't like an interception, coach. But you know what? I'm going to take joy either way. You know why? Because I know God's going to work all things out to good because I love him and I'm called into his purpose. He's not a respecter of persons. If he'll do it for me, if he'll do it for those disciples, he'll do it for you. He will, because that's who he is. You're his kid. He's done these things for you. You're fortunate. You're enviable. You're cheerful. You're choosing to take joy in whatever situation. It puts a smile on your face and good things starts happening. And you know what happens? When you smile at somebody and you keep smiling, they'll smile back for one of two reasons. Either one, they're going to wonder what you're smiling about. What are you doing? Or they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to smile anyway. And that's okay too. I have a friend. I actually do have one. And I mean, since we were young, he always wants me to drive when we go places. Like, always. Homer always wants me to drive. Everywhere. Okay, so I drive. And I'm an excellent driver. There's been moments when we've been pulling a trailer or something, and, you know, I may have cut somebody off a little bit. Just a little bit. And you know when you cut somebody off, sometimes they show their displeasure. They make it evident that they weren't so happy that I cut them off. Sometimes they use facial features. Sometimes they'll use equipment and apparatuses, you know. Sometimes they'll use gestures. This one particular time, there's a jester coming towards me. I understand what he meant. The communication was felt. Homer looks over, starts smiling. And I think the guy laughed. I mean, that's a funny thing, but look, Homer changed that guy's whole concept of what was going on there. I didn't mean to cut him off. He meant to give me the gesture. And Homer took joy, and it was contagious. I know that's a funny story, but think about it, guys. In our life, as we walk out our situation and circumstances, we have the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. That's what it says, right? We have good news to share with people that are being inundated with bad news, right? But we have framed our life on his word. We are abiding in his word, and his word is abiding in us, right? And then it says that we'll bear fruit. That's in John 15, early in 15, right? See, his word's abiding in us. We're abiding in him, and his words are abiding in us. And we're affecting other people because of that, right? Let's go to John 15, verse 10. I'm going to go further down the road. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, Bryn. Look what it says. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love. This is, read the whole thing, but I want to talk about the love because they brought it up. They did it. They started it. You will abide in my love and live on in it. just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love, I've told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you. So not only are you taking joy, you're taking the joy of Christ because he's put it in you. Okay? And that your joy, and then he's talking about your joy, and gladness may be of full measure, complete and overjoying. It starts with his delight and joy that he puts in you. And then what happens? It's contagious. Your joy starts coming out. And it's a full measure. It's overflowing. What happens when something overflows? It gets other stuff wet. It spreads. Guys, we have good news to share. Right? And sometimes, guys, you know, we teach here, right? We teach. We really teach a lot, right? And we're preparing a foundation to build on, right? But as I was praying about this message this week and talking to different people, right? I told Sarah, and well, she told me, she said, you know, sometimes you have to stop and remember, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because we're sharing good news. I mean, I'm not up here to impress you with my English skills and how I speak. Oh, y'all already know I don't know how to talk. I'm not up here to impress you with theological knowledge. I'm here to tell you what God has said about you. I'm here to encourage you. You know, it talks about in Hebrews 10 about why we come together. Why do you even come to church? To encourage one another. How encouraging am I when I'm talking to Jake about paint drying? But are you encouraged when you hear about what Jesus has done for you? Are you encouraged to know that the Holy Spirit resides inside of you with the fullness of power? Are you encouraged to know that His joy he put inside of you so that you can take joy and it start overflowing? Now, does that encourage you? Does that encourage you that you have a God in heaven that has not forgotten about you? He knows you by name. He loves you with a complete love. Man, that's good news. And when I hear good news, I like to tell somebody about it. Seriously, you hear something good, you don't just sit at home and say, man, I know something good. No, you call your buddy, Homer, have you heard this? This is good news. He really did. And he looks goofy anyway. I can pick on Homer. It's good news, guys. We have good news. Man, we have good news. Man. Okay, let's land this plane here. Let's go. We're still in John. Go to 13. This is going to kind of complete what Jim and Misty started with. It's fun how the Holy Spirit lines things up. John 13, I'm going to read 34 and 35. I'm in the Amplified. It says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. We are known by the love we share. We are known by our fruit. That's in Matthew 7. The fruit of the Holy Spirit starts coming out in us. You read my notes, Misty? It comes out of us. And as I start raising my fingers, when I start counting out the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. You know, I always do that so I don't miss one. What's the first one I always start with? Love. What's the second one? Joy. Think about that. Man. We get to share love and we get to share joy right away. Boop. First fruit popping off of us. And it's contagious. People are going to pick of that tree because they're picking from the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is drawing people to him. And yes, he uses us. Because we're his disciples. Does he say he's only going to use the perfect disciples? Oh, thank you, God. No. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Praise God, or I'd never be here. Right? So let's take joy in that, that you're his disciples, that you have love that he has put inside of you that comes out of you. And that's how we're known. Then he takes his joy, puts it in you, and then it starts coming out of you, and it's your joy. You know how it says? It said it. It was his, and then he says, yours. Man, that's good news. That's good news. Come on up here, hon.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.